Well, I am excited to share what the word is this morning. And you need to know before we step in that this is one of the, I think, principles of following Jesus, that I think the longer you walk with Jesus, the more you see. And we're going to be talking about how our sorrow will turn into joy. Our sorrow will turn into joy. We're going to be in John chapter 16. That's where we're going to be for most of the time. And this is a season in life when Jesus is actually preparing his disciples for what's coming. And actually, in a few hours, everything's going to unfold. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be arrested. And the disciples' world, as they know it, is going to come crashing down. And Jesus is getting his people ready. And that's where this passage is going to come in. So I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to walk into this. So John 16, starting in verse 16, says this. This is Jesus talking. It says, "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again in a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this thing that he says to us?" And let's just be honest. I think the disciples said this often. What is he talking about? Like, what is he doing? And you know what's funny is Jesus knows all the time. Like, he knows the disciples are talking about him behind his back. It's really not fair. So some of the disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, you'll not see me. And again in a little while, and you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does this mean, a little while? We don't know what he's talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, they didn't ask him, he just responded because he knows. "Is this what you're asking yourselves? What is it meant by saying, 'A little while, you'll not see me, and again, a little while, you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you." So just a little heads up. When you're reading the word and it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," like, you need to kind of pay attention. Jesus is going to say something. "You will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. And that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you," here we go again, "whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you haven't asked anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Amen. God, wow, what an incredible passage. God, I thank you that this isn't just words, that this happened, that the Son of God spoke this, that this is true. You don't lie. And God, I thank you, Lord, that this is truth for us. This is reality that we can live in. God, I ask that you'd help me to speak this. God, I ask that you'd help us to hear this and know this deep in us. And Father, that this would change the way that we live, that we would not be people of sorrow, but people who live in hope, people who rejoice because we know how this plays out. God, we love you. God, thank you so much that you're with us. You're always with us. We worship you, Jesus. Amen. 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 So like I said, Jesus is preparing his people, his disciples, and they're just sitting around. They have no idea what's going on, but Jesus does, and he's getting them ready, like I was saying. And you need to know before I move on, and we've talked about this before, that God always prepares his people. If you are willing to listen and seek God and walk with him, he always prepares his people. For hard times especially, he always prepares his people. He gets you ready because he's a good shepherd. You know, a shepherd cares for his sheep. He's a good father and cares for his sons and daughters. So I want you to know that this world is crazy nuts. And if you have any sense about you, you know that the future has some scary things looming out there, the what ifs. But as children of God, people who follow Jesus, you need to know that we don't need to be afraid. He always warns his people. He always warns his people. But you also need to know this. This isn't necessarily physically. This is more spiritually. And a good example is this. As some of you know, I lost my home in the fire. And it's funny because we were really ready for an earthquake. You know, like we had water, we had food, we had medical supplies. Like we were ready for an earthquake. Oh, we were so ready. And you know what? The water burned up. The medical supply, like, no, it didn't help us at all, right? It is a waste of money. not that we shouldn't have done that, but you know what? I did have a sense that I needed to be ready. And it was about being spiritually ready. So, beloved, you need to know as we move forward that God prepares his people. And it's not about getting a bunker ready because bunkers burn. You know, these things only do so much, but spiritually, God wants you to be spiritually ready so that you are on the rock, so that when the waves come, that you stand. You know, so that's what Jesus is doing right here. He's preparing his disciples spiritually, even though they don't know what's going on. But do you know what? If they were spiritually listening, they would have been ready. They would have been sad, obviously, but they knew it was coming. Jesus was telling them. So God wants them not to just have knowledge, but spiritual understanding so that they would be ready. And then verse 20, Jesus kind of moves into this. Can you go to the next slide? So he's saying, okay, you're talking about this, and this is when Jesus begins to speak to it. So he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. Can we just stop there? Like Jesus is saying, like, you will weep and lament. I think there's a fallacy that Christianity has sometimes that is always leaping and dancing and happy and that there's never weeping and sorrow. And that is true. That is part of following Jesus, that there are seasons of mourning. There are seasons of sorrow. And Jesus acknowledges that. And beloved, you need to know that that's okay. It's okay that sometimes we get led through valleys of the shadow of death, like David talked about, where it's dark and it's sad and it's lonely and it looks like it's nighttime and that the sun ain't coming up anytime soon. It doesn't even look like the sun's going to come up, period. And that's what Jesus is saying. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow is going to turn into joy. Amen. Is that incredible? It's unbelievable. It is absolutely unbelievable. But first it says, you're going to weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You know, like you're going to be sad, but everyone else is going to be happy. And obviously that's what happened when Jesus was crucified. You know, the disciples are like grieving. His followers are grieving and sad, but the whole rest of the voices are like, crucify him, crucify him. They're rejoicing in his death. And beloved, you need to know as we move into further into the society that we're living in that keeps spiraling away from God, that we're going to see that more and more. That things that make us weep and lament, that the world will rejoice in. Think about how sin is celebrated, but it grieves us, right? The closer we move to Jesus, the more we see his heart, the more we see the pain that he feels when people walk away and reject him. And not just him as Lord, but his way of life. There's so much sin that people rejoice in and celebrate and rejoice in. And Jesus is saying, is like, you're going to weep and lament. There's going to be sorrow that you're going to have. Specifically, he's talking about the crucifixion that's coming up. But really, that plays out throughout all eternity. A rejection of Christ is a celebration and rebellion against him. So as the people of God, we share in that sorrow. But as the world rejoices, they don't have the final say. They don't have the final say. So I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You're going to be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. And he says it's like childbirth, which I'm not a girl, but I was there 3 times, and I just know that there was sorrow there. There was real sorrow there, but when it was done, it was done. And that's the incredible part about child labor. Like, when it's done, it's done. It's like, what happened? You know, like, I'm still rattled, and all of a sudden it's done, and my wife's just happy and joyful, and you're like, what happened? You know? And you know, it's funny, like, the scripture was talking about how, like, when you have a child, like, you forget the pain. And I just want to confess that as a husband, you don't forget the pain. Like you remember what you saw, and as your wife moves on, and she's, like, happy and wants another child, you're like, are you kidding me? Do you remember? You know, but Jesus, that's how it works. Jesus is talking about, like, when you have a child, like, there's sorrow, there's pain, it's hard. And it seems like it's never going to end. But as soon as it's over, it's over. You know? And you have a child, so there's joy. So that very thing that caused you pain and sorrow, all of a sudden is joy. And you get to hold it. And that's how it is with the kingdom of God. These things that we get called into that are so hard, deep valleys where there's sorrow and pain and loneliness and darkness and emptiness. And you're like, it seems like it's going to last forever. But just as in childbirth, when all of a sudden it's done, and you know what? It's done. It gets turned into joy. It's really unbelievable. But this is how it works with God. And this is so beautiful because the scripture says that he turns sorrow into joy. You know, like, think about that. It's not that the thing that gets sorrowful just gets forgotten and pushed aside and you just repress it and move on because we're supposed to be happy. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about actually that thing that is sorrowful turns into joy. That's supernatural. Only God can do that. So that pain, that hardship, and even the disciples, okay, Jesus is gone. He's buried. Everything's gone. It's lost. It's a dark, dark time. Jesus is going to turn that terrible event into joy. Like I said, not forget it, not mask it, not cover it, not go to therapy so that you can deal with it. Nothing like that. It's not that time is going to help us heal all wounds. Whoever said that? Come on now. Time heals all wounds. Time doesn't heal wounds, you know? It might help, sure, but Jesus heals wounds, amen. You know? So Jesus is saying, your sorrow will turn into joy. And this is something that you need to know about the kingdom of God. Like, this is how God works, is he takes sorrowful things in our life, and he takes the very thing that causes us pain and makes it joyful. It's ridiculous. We are so lucky to follow Jesus. You know, the scripture says, forget not his benefits. Can I just say, this is one of the benefits of following Jesus, that nothing is lost with the world, with the Lord. So as we go through hard times, you need to know that God works all things for good, for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. That's how he works. So our part is to remain faithful through the valley, through the sorrow, through the anguish. Why? Because he turns what is sorrowful into joy. Not by painting over it, but he turns it. He actually transforms it into something that's joyful. The pain itself will bring you joy. There's a scripture that says that weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Right? I was thinking about that, and I don't know if you've ever been awake for a sunrise before. You guys look tired. But if you've ever seen a sunrise, like, you can't help but feel joyful. Do you know what I mean? Like, when the sun cracks, it starts to, the darkness fades and there's hues of light. And all of a sudden, the sun cracks open. And it's like, boom, there's the sun. And I don't care how bad you felt, the sunrise is majestic. It's hopeful. That's what the scripture is talking about. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's the promise to followers of Jesus. Joy comes in the morning. We were talking about morning by morning, new mercies I see. That's how Jesus works. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. See, joy always is awaiting us, and that's the good news. And this is what Jesus does. This is what Jesus always does. He turns our mourning into dancing. He turns our weeping into gladness. It's unbelievable. This morning I was reading about, not this morning, sorry, this past week I was reading in the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth is about this family that left Israel and went to another foreign land because there was a famine. So they left there, and while she was there, this is Naomi and her husband. While they were there, she lost her husband, and she lost both sons. Like, she lost everything, and she's going to go back home. She's going to go back home to Bethlehem with her two daughter-in-laws. And as she's going, she's just released them. It's like, you don't need to come back with me. This isn't your home. Just go. So one of them leaves, goes back to their own people, but Ruth stays with her, and Ruth comes back with her. And it's just such an incredible story. But I want to talk about Naomi, not Ruth. I want to talk about Naomi. She's the mother. So in chapter 1, Ruth 1, verse 19 says, so the two of them, that's Naomi and Ruth, went on until they came to Bethlehem. Now, just a little context, that's where Jesus was born, okay? So same place. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred up because of them. That's where Naomi was from, so she's coming home. They were stirred up because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, don't call me Naomi. Now, Naomi means pleasant, okay? So she says, don't call me Naomi. Says, call me Mara. Mara means bitterness. And this is what she says, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Isn't that something? Don't call me Naomi. Don't call me unpleasant. Call me Mara, for the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Do you relate with that at all? I don't have any reason to be happy because God's dealt me a bad hand. Life's been rough. I didn't sign up for this. It hasn't turned out how I thought. There's no reason to be joyful. All I have is sorrow, a cup of sorrow. That's all I got. I'm broke. I'm empty. So there's no happiness. There's no joy. I'm bitter because God has dealt me a bad hand. And beloved, you need to know that happens in life. There's times when we feel that way. We just feel robbed. Somehow God robbed us. Because it's just, I don't see any good here. You know, it's just hard, period. It's not hard, but I see the light at the end of the tunnel. No light at the end of the tunnel, just hard. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been there? The valley of the shadow of death, where it just seems dark. It seems like morning's never going to come. And that's what Naomi's saying. It's like, I lost everything. There's no reason to be happy. Here I am. Life sucks. Period. Right? Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. But here's what's unbelievable. is that the story of Mara in the Bible actually changes around. And God takes Mara, these bitter things, these sufferings that we have, these calamities that we feel, and he turns it around and makes them sweet. That's what God does. That's what God does. I want to tell you a quick story about Mara. I have a Mara. She's about yay high. And she's my middle daughter. Her name's Mara. And the reason we named her Mara is because she was born at a time where we were greatly pained. And we were bitter. And we were in a valley where we did not see the light at the end of the tunnel. It was a dark place. It was a hard time in our marriage. It was a hard time in my job. It was a hard time financially. There was nothing there. And I was working at a church. It didn't go well. I ended up moving on. I was unemployed. I had no money. I had no money. I had no income. I had a family like of two kids. Like, it was crazy. But can I tell you what happens tomorrow? Is that God takes bitter things and makes them sweet. Doesn't mask them so that you forget them. But he turns our sorrow into joy. And I want to testify, I want to give witness that happened to me. It happened. It's real. This isn't just fairy tales. Like, that's real. God changed our hearts, our bitterness, our brokenness, our pain, and healed it to the point where we can love the people that hurt us, and to the point where God restored everything that we lost and more. Guys, I've seen God provide out of nothing. Like, if you ever lose your job, don't worry. Just trust Jesus. Like, I can't even tell you how many times, like, there was nothing in the bank, and at just the right time, a check would show up for just the right amount, because that's how God rolls. You know, like, this is what happens. This is part of being a child of God. We're talking about his provisions, you know? He takes these things that are sorrowful and turns them into joy. And do you know what? I would look back and I would hate to go through it again, but I would never want to change it for the world. Why? Because he turned our sorrow into joy. Isn't it incredible? It's like Job. Job lost everything, right? Lost everything. And he's sorrowful. He doesn't curse God, although his friends are like, what's your problem? Like, it's not like the stuff that he was going through is bad enough. He had bad friends. If anyone had a right to complain about life, Job did. But at the end of it, the Lord is talking to him, and he's like, his eyes get open up to what God is doing. And this is what Job says. He says, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's incredible. And do you know what? God blessed Job more than what he had before. He turned his sorrow into joy. This is what happens. This is part of following Jesus, walking with him through the valley. And beloved, this is what Jesus is talking about here. You're going to be sorrowful. You're going to feel like life is zero, nothing to offer. Everything's gone, but I'm going to turn your sorrow into joy. I want to kind of conclude the story of Ruth. Remember, Naomi was saying, don't call me Ruth, call me Mara. I'm bitter. God's dealt poorly with me. If you flip one page over, let's finish this story. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Ruth, her daughter-in-law, gets married to Boaz, who's a redeemer, someone in the family who can be a covering for her. And that's a whole nother story. But this is what it is. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went in with her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, okay, this is about Ruth. The story is about Ruth, but however, Naomi is at the beginning, and Naomi is the main event at the end. The women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you is more to you than seven sons has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. Wow. Bitter Naomi. And then it says, they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Isn't that incredible? You know what? No one's remembering Naomi's pain. And she isn't either. Why? Because God rescued all that pain, all that loss, and turned her sorrow into joy. And through her, King David came. And through King David came Jesus. He turns our sorrow into joy. Unbelievable. Life is good. All things work together for those who are called by God into his purpose. He is good. He is faithful. And you know what? He sees you in that dark time. He sees you in the valley. Even though you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, he knows. And the gift of age in regards to walking with the Lord is this. When you walk with Jesus a long time, you see it again and again and again and again. Another quick story. So I'm not really that old. I'm actually really young. But I've walked with the Lord long enough to see this happen a few times. And it's really interesting. I mean, I was talking about that season of time where it was really hard. And obviously, you live long enough, there's a few bumps in the road. And, you know, like fire happened, that was a big bump. You know, that's a sorrowful time for us. Very sorrowful. But you know what? I know that there's hope. I don't feel like I see the fullness of it yet, you know? But I know it's coming. Because that's what it's like to follow Jesus. That's what Jesus does. He turns our sorrow into joy. No regrets. So I know, you can hold me to this gently, okay? I know that if I fast forward 5 years from now, if I continue with the Lord, I can look back and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. He gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Because that's what God does. That's what it is to follow Jesus. He always takes our sorrow and turns it into joy. The very thing that we thought was our loss and our greatest pain, he turns into joy. Not because time runs out on us, but God transforms it into joy. It is awesome. And that's what happened with Jesus. He's telling him, he's like, you're going to be sorrowful. You're going to feel like it's all gone. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to see you again. That shows up twice there. I'm going to see you again. And your joy is going to be so full, and no one will take your joy away. Why? Because Jesus is there. You're going to see me again. Beloved, I want you to know that if you're in a hard time, you're going to see him again. So don't give up. Remain faithful. Keep going, even though you don't see it, and you will see him again. Because weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? Amen? This is what it is to follow Jesus. You know, it's really interesting. If you read the New Testament, the Gospels tell about this story where the disciples are full of despair, but you never see despair again in the New Testament. Why? It's all hope. It's all victory. It's all life. It's all, look at how great God is. Even though Paul sometimes said, we despaired of life. You know, like even though there's still hard times, there's still victory. Why? Because the disciples knew despair without God, but they knew that Jesus came again. Jesus rose from the dead. So there was hope. There was life. There was victory. That's the rest of the New Testament. It's all victory. It's awesome. No more sadness, because they knew that God turns sorrow into joy. That our joy may be full, because we will see Jesus again. And no one will take your joy from you. Beloved, no one can take your joy from you. But do you know what our enemy wants to do? Steal, rob, and destroy. The enemy of our souls wants to steal joy from you. So here's the deal. You can be a follower of Jesus and allow the devil to rob you of joy. So resist him, firm in the faith, because joy is yours in Jesus. Okay? Joy is yours in Jesus. No one can take the joy away because God's with you. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So be strong and courageous. Guys, we are blessed to follow Jesus. Miguel, I want you to come up, and Angela. We're going to close in worship. And I don't know where you are in all of this, but you need to know this, that God loves you. God is with you. God will never leave you. Jesus said that I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will always be with you. And some of you might be in a valley right now, and this is like, I feel that. I feel sorrow. I feel like I'm underwater, and I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And you need to know this morning that God is going to use this and turn it into joy. And you need to have hope and faith that God's going to do it. But sometimes we need to walk with each other in that, right? We need to pray and believe with each other and stand with each other. That's part of the reason why we gather together is to remind each other. It's like, keep walking with Jesus. I know it's hard. I'm going to walk with you, right? That's what we do. Some of you just need to know this. You need to believe this. Some of you are reflecting on what God has done in the past. You're just like, God's awesome. And you just want to worship because God's good. So wherever you are, we're going to respond and worship. And we're going to be in the back. Pam and I are going to be back there. If you want to pray about something, if you're going through something right now and you want someone to pray with you, we're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God to give you eyes, spiritual eyes, to see what is unseen. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. It really lines up with this. He says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outward self physically is wasting away, where we feel the pain of life, our inward self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So, beloved, I want to remind you of the eternal God and that this too will pass. Joy is going to come in the morning. Amen. Pam and I will be back there for prayer if you want prayer.